about that still for a while. And everybody wants to talk about blessings, and everybody wants to have blessings, and everybody wants to be blessed, but not many folks want to do what it takes to be blessed. Not many folks want to do what it takes to be a blessed man. And so we're talking this morning about this blessed man from Psalms chapter number 1. One of my favorite psalms in the Bible. My children have committed it to memory. I saw to that very early on in life that we began to work every evening on studying and memorizing this chapter of the Word of God. It's an important chapter of God's Word. It's so foundational in terms of our everyday lives as to how we live, and it teaches such great truths. And this morning I want to try to preach on this blessed man from this passage. If you have found your place and are able and willing, stand with us and we'll read the Word of the Lord together from Psalms chapter 1. The Word of the Lord says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Note again verse number 1 this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while read the Word of the Lord. We see in this psalm, this first of the book of Psalms, we see the contrast of a blessed man in verses 1 through 3 and the ungodly men in verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6 teaches us of the condemnation of the ungodly, of the judgment that is to come, how they have no hope of standing on that day in the last time in the congregation of the righteous. They have no hope of being able to stand amidst the righteous men for the ungodliness that resides in their hearts. And the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Condemnation and judgment has been pronounced upon them in verses 4 through 6. But in verses 1 through 3 we see the contrast, the absolute flip side of the coin. The blessed man, the righteous man, the one who walks before God in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And I want to focus in on that righteous man, that blessed man today, and to see what the Lord has for us in his life. Blessed is the man. Now we mentioned last Sunday in Sunday school, this word blessed means more than that someone is the recipient of blessings. It means happiness. It speaks of happiness, a deep-seated satisfaction that is greater than can be expressed by words. Did you realize there's a happiness that you can't tell anybody about? There's a happiness that you cannot put into your vocabulary. There's a happiness that you just cannot express with the words and the tools and the abilities and the communication power that you hold. You cannot express those things. I mean, the old timers would say it's better felt than told. And it speaks of a happiness, that deep-seated satisfaction that is greater than can be expressed by words. It could literally be translated as, "Oh, the blessings." And now that phrase, that little word, "Oh," Terry Pace preached on that for us. How one year in summer revival, it is the expression of the soul. It is the groaning of the soul. It is the crying out of the soul. And this word, "blessed," is the crying out of the blessings of the soul. When it says this man is blessed, this says not just an expression of the mind, but it's an expression of the soul. The same word is translated happy 18 times in your King James Bible. The man of Psalms chapter 1 is happy, and he's not happy in his mind. He's happy in his soul. Therefore, he is deeply blessed. It's not the blessings of natural things or a surface level blessings or the blessings of the moment, but it's the blessing of the soul. I wonder, are you blessed down in your soul this morning? If the Lord asks you all things well, you might
And I got all sorts of issues in my life. But it is well with my soul. Are you blessed down deeply? I mean, the man that is blessed is not defined by his blessings. He's blessed because he knows the blesser. And when you know God, you've got a deepness, a depth, a foundation, a fundamental blessedness and happiness and satisfaction about your life that the world knows nothing about. The world cannot give it, and the world cannot take it away. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. How can a man rejoice and sing in prison? How can he praise God when he's lost his wife and his kids and his cattle and his health as Job did? How can he praise the Lord when he's been convicted of a crime that he did not commit as Joseph had, and sold into slavery by his brothers that hated him? How can he love God and praise him while they crucify him upside down, as Peter, for he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord? Because there's a deep-seated satisfaction that my friend goes greater than and that is larger than this world and the pressures that it gives and that it offers. And to my friend that it puts upon us, I tell you, contrary to the lies of Satan, the devil will tell you that the Lord doesn't want you to be happy, that all religion is about trying to make you miserable, tell you a bunch of stuff you can't do anymore, take away all of your fun, rob you of all the happy days and fun that there is in life. Satan paints a beautiful picture of my friend of sin and the pleasures that sin have to offer. But the pleasures of sin are for a season, and when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. But the pleasures of living for God go deep, friend. And even when hard times are upon us, and even, my friend, when life goes backwards in a way that we would like for it to, thank God we still have our blessings because they reside deeper in us. Oh no, it's not what you see that makes me a king. It's treasures unseen. If you think I look like a rich man, well, that's what I am. Amen. I say I'm rich toward God. I'm rich toward heaven this morning. And it is a deeper happiness than the world knows anything about. God does not want your life to be without happiness or without blessedness, friend. I tell you, God wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. David said to the Lord in Psalm 16 and 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that interesting? The pleasures of sin are for a season, but the pleasures of God in his right hand are forevermore. Amen. The pleasures of sin when the money's gone, and when the friends are gone, and the car, my friend, is out of gas, and when there's no more of my hay, and no more resources to party with, and enjoy and so forth, and no more pleasures of life to be had, those things are gone. But thank God, and those that know the Lord, and we rejoice whether those things are present or not. We've learned whether we be abounding, or if we might be abased. We've learned in whatsoever state we're in, therewith to be content. There's a deep-seated blessing in the life of the child of God. We preached a few weeks ago on the man that is blessed. I studied in Sunday school last Sunday in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Oh, friend, I will look this morning. And by the way, last Sunday night I talked about those that are blessed but stressed. That's right, too. I'm not too blessed to be stressed. I'm still stressed, but while I'm stressed, I'm still blessed. Amen. And this morning in Psalm chapter 1, I want us to look at the blessed man. Blessed is the man. And I want to show you some things about this man. We all want to be happy. We want to be satisfied. We want to be blessed. this. Back about 20 years ago, by the way, some of you don't know this. Some of you don't know it, some of you knew it, but I hadn't thought about it since. Yesterday was 22 years ago when I preached my first message. What about that? On yesterday, it would have been the first Sunday night, on the 5th of November in 1989, when I preached my first message, Lazarus and the rich man. Two ways, two lords, two masters, and you must choose which route you'll go. Amen. Oh, what about that? And I'm a blessed man this morning, 22 years later, that's still be preaching this blessed book, and I'm thankful for God's graciousness towards us. How about this man back years and years ago, probably nearly 20 years ago, I began preaching on what will it take to make you happy? What will it take to make you happy? The cessation of man's desires for worldly goods will never transpire in this life. I mean, friend, we'll never be totally satisfied with everything in this life. The eyes not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. It is the way of the world, and everything under the sun has not changed. Amen. No rivers of the whole earth flow into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. It's not satisfied. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth gold with increase. In other words, man just can't be satisfied in this life with the things of this life. But if you put your focus on heaven, oh, thank God he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's what the Proverbs said, Proverbs 29:18. The latter part of the verse, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. I tell you, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want to be happy, not on the surface level. You want to be happy down in your soul. You'll have to trust and obey. The man in Psalms chapter 1 is our pattern for how a blessed man is defined. I don't want to give you three things about him and try to be quick with them, and then I'll be done. First of all, this blessed man in Psalm 1, he is guarded. Amen. He is guarded. And that is, he's separated from the world. There are three things that he cannot have in his life. There are three things that he excludes from his life. In Psalm chapter 1, how blessed is the man that walketh not. Notice he excludes these things. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He lives a guarded life. Notice he guards against the advice of society. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Did you know that everybody in the world seemed like that knows exactly what to tell you that you ought to do with your life? Did you know that? I mean, matter of fact, if you don't believe me, just come ask me. I know exactly what you ought to do. I mean, I got all answers for your life. Amen. And everybody does for everybody else's life. But when it comes to our own problems, we're at a loss. We don't know what to do. Amen. I mean, but we have answers for other folks. This ungodly world would love to tell you how to live your life. They would love to tell you how to walk. But the man that's blessed walks not after their counsel, after the counsel of the ungodly. I mean, the blessed man avoids certain things which would make it impossible for happiness to flourish, because these things are poisonous. They are destructive. They are counterproductive. And he's marked by some things that he does not do. Did you know, though the word said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Did you realize there are some things you cannot do? It's because Christ won't strengthen you to do those things. I mean, you could preach on those. I heard a preacher years ago preach on them. I said, you can't live like Lot and be blessed like Abraham. Amen. That's exactly right. There are some things you cannot do. As a child of God, if you're to be blessed, as my friend, a child of God, if you're to walk before God, there are some things you cannot do. There's some things you must exclude from your life. And the child of God, the blessed man, is marked by the things he he does not do. He's marked by the places he does not go. He's marked by the things he does not read. He's marked by the programs he cannot watch. He's marked by the company he does not keep. Amen. How blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. The blessed man does not hearken to the heathen. Amen. He's not guided by the world. A blessed man does not live by the advice of society. I wonder this morning, whose advice do you value? Whose opinion do you count as highly important to you? Who do you follow? Who do you seek after? I tell you, we ought to follow after the Lord and seek after the Lord and follow His edicts. What if what He says it does not sit well with your in-laws? Amen. What if it does not sit well with the boss man? What if it does not sit well with society? What if your buddies think that it's wrong or crazy or insane or unnecessary? Whose advice do you follow? Whose opinions do you seek after? I tell you, if you're to have this deep-seated blessedness in your soul, you must value what the Word says above what the world says. You must value what the Bible says above what everybody else says. You've got to live by what God has said rather than walking after. And my friend, the counsel of the ungodly. In case you don't know, they will tell you what they want you to do. They will tell you what you're supposed to do, what you are to do, what you should have done, and what you will do if you're going to participate in things they participate in, which means you just can't participate in all the things they participate in. Amen. You just can't be a part of every bit of it. Hey, friend. And this blessed man is a man that's guarded. He guards against the advice of society. He guards against the activity of sinners. He walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, when this says standeth in the way of sinners, it almost sounds like the sinner's trying to get somewhere and he's blocking their path. But that's not at all what it's talking about. That may be the result of it. But what it's talking about here is a man that stands like sinners stand. That stands the way that sinners stand. That holds the position that sinners hold. Did you know our position cannot be the same as sinners? I cannot identify myself and to stand with Him. The sinner is opposed to God, to good, my friend, and to that which brings glory. The blessed man cannot be in agreement with the God deniers, with the liberals, with the sinful society we're living in. A blessed man keeps the right kind of company and avoids the wrong kind of people, and he cannot fellowship with them. We can be friendly to sinners. We can be a friend to sinners. But we can't really fellowship with sinners. And you see, the fellowship means to share something of the soul. And we can't serve our soul with sinners and them serve their souls with us, because our souls are at enmity one with another. We can be friends. We can be friendly. We just can't fellowship from within. I tell you, you can't be what sinners are and be what God wants you to be in your life. You can't run with that crowd, do what they do, participate in what they participate in. You can't hold hands with God and with the world at the same time. How sweet and bitter water won't come forth from the same fountain. Hey, man, you can't serve God and the man and mammon and the world and the money and society, friend. You're going to have to make a choice. You want to be blessed? You cannot stand in the way of sinners. You can't hold their position. Amen. Somebody said, well, now I'm going to go to church and I'm going to live right. I'm going to do it. But now it's not necessary to go too far with it. I mean, there's no need in just becoming fanatical or anything. I mean, no need just going too far. You know what folks want? They want all the blessings of God without the burden of living right. Amen. And nowhere in the Bible do you find that. Nowhere in the Scripture is that promise. The blessed man stands not in the way of sinners.
Amen. He cannot fellowship with them. I wonder who's your best friends. Who are your best buddies, your pals? What kind of crowd you been running with? What kind of crowd are you the ringleader of? What does it testify to us about your soul and the condition of it? Who do you fellowship best with? The blessed man stands not in the way of sinners. Now I'm going to tell you what will happen. You stand the way sinners stand, it won't be long you'll be standing in the way of sinners. Are you listening to me? You stand the way sinners stand. You go ahead and do what they do. You mark your life with the positions that they hold. You say, well, it's all right to do this. It's all right to live like this. It's all right to partake in this. So long it's in moderation. So long as it doesn't go too far. You take the position society does. You yoke up with the liberals of our world. Water down the message to the Word of God and to take their way. But if you stand in their way, won't be long you'll be standing in their way. They're needing to get to God, but yet your compromise and your lifestyle, your sin has brought a shame against God and serves as a hindrance to them getting right with God. If you stand the way sinners stand, won't be long you'll be standing in the way of sinners getting to God. Amen. I want to say he's guarded. He's separated from the world. He guards against the advice of society and guards against the activity of sinners. He guards against the attitude of the scorners. And the Bible said he said that he walks not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man cannot sit in the seat of the scornful. This word scornful denotes one who mocks and scoffs at the things of God. And the blessed man cannot occupy a place of mockery toward God. Galatians 6 and 7 said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Are you going to reap what you sow? And this man is sitting in the seat of the scornful. That is a seat of judgment. And mouthing, scorning, or mocking the things of God. And notice the progression that's evident in this verse. If you walk long enough and then stand around for a while, you'll soon need a comfortable seat. Amen. He begins by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And then standing in the way of sinners. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful. You say, I would never mock God. I'd never mock the Bible. I'd never scorn the Lord. If you walk in the counsel of the ungodly and you stand in the way of sinners, it won't be long till you'll be sitting in the seat of the scornful. I tell you, the world, if you listen to them, you'll come with them. I walk arms with them. We'll have you mocking God and scorning the Lord. And won't be long till, like Peter, you'll be gathered around the devil's fire and cursing and swearing. I tell you, friend, the world will drag you down. You've got to walk with God.
Amen.
You've got to walk with God. The blessed man is a guarded man, separated from the world. The blessed man is a guided man who's saturated with the Word. The blessed man cannot fill his life with the things of the world. He must fill his life with the things of the Word. You want to be blessed? There's some things you can't do. And then there are some things that you must do. Amen. And so he is saturated with the Word of God. I mean, what is it that brings delight to this blessed man? What is it that brings his deep-seated joy and satisfaction? What makes him happy when he's absolutely contrary to all the world around him? Verse 2 said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice the Word of God has captured his full affection. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I wonder, does God's Word have your full affection this morning? Does it have your delight? And that word delight means pleasure. His pleasure is in the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how so many now, their pleasure is in the things of the world. Their pleasure is in the ball games. Or my friend,
recreation in society. There are pleasures in having and gaining and getting and acquiring. There are pleasures in natural things. How many of which by themselves there's nothing wrong with. Oh, but think how God seeks for us. How to make the Word of God our pleasure. How wonder do you gain delight from this Word? Does this Word help you? Does this Word bring joy to your soul? You know the reason why folks in this generation have minimized preaching and, my friend, maximized programs is because they don't get delight from the Word of God. They don't delight in His truths. They don't delight in His precepts. They don't delight, my friend, in the food that it is for their souls. They are disinterested. You know the reason why folks are paying $22 for a couple to go to see a movie out of Hollywood on the big screen. But it's a great sacrifice to put a $5 bill in the offering on Sunday because they don't delight in the Word. Amen. You know the reason why I don't mean nothing to folks. I had to drive 300-400 miles for a ball game. But yet they're just too tired to go to church on Sunday because they don't delight in the Word. Don't leave me hanging out here now. You know what I'm preaching is right. I'm telling you, we become so wrapped up in the pleasures of the world when our pleasures to be found in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. His Word, the Word of God brings pleasure to the blessed man. His pleasure is in the Word of God. The Word of God thrills him. I wonder, do you ever just get elated because of some truth you've uncovered at the Word? Do you ever sit down and just start reading? I mean, you're carelessly maybe. I mean, just going through routine. I'm not really even looking for anything. You're just carelessly reading the Word of God just out of routine practice. And all of a sudden God reaches down from heaven with a giant Holy Ghost highlighter and paints a streak across your page. And there's a few words jumps off the page at you. Next thing you know, tears is coming out of your eyes. The Lord has squeezed your heart. As Brother Mae Jackson said, made juice run out your eyes. Amen. I'm telling you, joy down in your soul. And all of a sudden from the Word just comes alive to you. And it feeds your soul. And it brings you deep-seated pleasure that the world never could give. Do you know what it's like to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Get in this book and dig deep. And God show you the way to go in your life. Do you know what it's like to need something in your life? To be under the weight of trouble. To be under the weight maybe even of sin. And God send the man of God by. And preach the Word of God. And you found nobody knew what you were going through. And the preacher didn't know, but God knew. And He put in His mouth just exactly what to say. That's exactly what you needed. He preached right to your situation. Preached right to your problem. And God brought satisfaction down in your soul. And you said, yes, now I know. Now I know what direction to go. Now I have purpose in my life. Now I'm satisfied. Oh, my friend, I tell you, there's been a many a time I've sat on the pew and thought, Lord, is worn and weak, and God has sent the Word by and speak to my soul, and I leave church refreshed and blessed and with joy. I'll tell you, the blessed man knows what that's about. His delight's in the law of the Lord. You ever just get sideways yourself because God's given you some spiritual enlightenment? I worry about the folks that never come to me and say, preacher, I just got to tell you what I'm studying on this week. Now, some of them's going to somebody else besides me and tell them, and that's okay. But if they don't come a time sometime when you just got to tell somebody, then I worry about you and the shape you're in spiritually. I mean, I just got to tell somebody sometimes what's going on.
My granny was obviously not a preacher. She was a woman. And she was a good, godly woman. She loved God and had a touch of God about her. And she'd get studied. She'd get it all over her. I mean, the Lord just give her something that she just was enjoying. And she couldn't stand it. She had to share it with somebody. And inevitably, somebody had stopped by the house to see her or talk to her or tell her something or check on something or whatever else. And if not, by the end of the day, my granddad would come home and then he'd get it. But whoever come in the door, she'd set him down. She'd let him talk for just a few minutes and she'd say, "Well, that's good. Let me tell you." She'd cut your slam off. "Let me tell you what I've been studying on and what the Lord has shown me today." She'd have all her books scattered out on the table. By the time Paul got in from the field of work, she'd set him down. She'd say, "Now, Seal." She didn't call him C.L. She called him Seal. Just run it all together. She'd say, "Now, Seal, if you'll pray, ain't no telling what God will give you to preach out of this. This is so good." And she'd set in to telling him about what the Lord had showed her. I wonder, do you ever just get excited about something God showed you from His book? I mean, every now and again, somebody could take me aside here at the church and say, "Did you ever pay attention to where the Bible said this, preacher? Did you ever notice where it said that?" I'll tell you, listen, I got plenty of time to talk to you about that. I don't even know how the score came out last night or how it all came about with the big ball game that everybody is talking about. But I got plenty of time to talk to you about what you discovered this week in the Word of God. I mean, we'll just make time for that, friend. I say our delight, our joy is to be in that Word of God.
Amen.
The Word has captured His full affection. Do you love His book? And the Word of God has captured His full attention. Amen. And in that law doth He meditate both day and night. Does not meditate over the words of the scornful. He meditates over the words of the Scripture. Oh, that's right. Then this word meditate means to mutter. Some of you have been muttering, but it ain't been muttering the Word of God. You've been muttering and you've been mumbling and grumbling and complaining and all of that stuff, but you've not been muttering the Word of God. When it says to meditate on, it's talking about the same thing that Paul was talking about in the book of Ephesians, where he said to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. I wonder, do you muse upon the things of God? Do you muse upon them when you're riding down the road? I'm my friend, and you're all by yourself and nobody in there but you and Jesus. Do you muse upon the things of God? My great grandma Golden used to say, "And me thinks to myself, self." That's the way you should start talking to herself. "And me thinks to myself, self. This is what you ought to do." And so I wonder, friend, when you ride down the highway, do you mutter on it? Do you meditate on the things of God? Every now and again, are you working on something and you catch yourself singing that old good gospel song and it's been on your heart all day? I had one tell me the other morning at work. She said, "You're the only person that's ever worked around here that one time that wasn't on the phone was singing some or humming all the time." She said, "What is that? That's your singing." I said, "There's not another Savior like mine. He's my future, my past, the first and the last. He's a friend. He's one of a kind. You can look if you will, but you'll never find a wonderful, marvelous, personal Savior like mine." I tell you, do you some good to meditate like that? To mutter a little bit. Just to keep it on your mind and on your lips. Repeat it over and over and over again. I mean, friend, take this word and tell it again and tell it again. Charles Spurgeon said of this man in Psalms 1 that he takes a text and he carries it with him all day long, and in the night watches, and when sleep forfakes his eyelids, he muses upon the Word of God. He's sitting there and all he can think about is the Word of God. Listen, this is why I believe memorization of the Bible is important. It's important to memorize the book. It's important to commit verses to memory. Say them over and over again. You say, "Well, I can't remember things very well." Get you about the 7 million times. You'll get it down. Amen. I mean, just repeat it over and over again. If you can't remember a chapter at a time, memorize a verse at a time. Memorize a phrase at a time. You can do that. Everybody can do that. Oh, friend, capture in your mind. If it's just here a little and there, a little line upon line, and precept upon precept.
Sam's. Put it aside in your heart that you might not sin against God. Help me commit this thing to memory and meditate on it.
Amen. Give the Word your full attention. Give the Word your full affection. He's guarded. He's guided. This blessed man, he's gladdened. Amen. He's separated from the world. He's saturated with the Word. And he's satisfied by the water. Amen. Verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh yes, the guarded and guided life results in a gladdened life. Notice how the blessed man is described as a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice he's a planted tree. He and my granddaddy would always say, talking about trees, he is either ones that you set out or it is ones that volunteered. I don't know how many of you ever heard that terminology or not. They call it a volunteer tree. It means just happened to come up there. Of course, we know it is planted by the Lord. How did he mean by that? That they had not been specifically or purposefully set out where they were. I want to tell you something, friend. We didn't just volunteer in this thing of serving God, but the Lord has strategically and specifically and purposefully planted us by the rivers of water. Amen. We are planted, amen. And we're planted like a tree by the river of water. Oh, I praise His a sweet name for that. And now when we're planted by that river, that means we have stability. We didn't start out growing on top of the ground, but we started out growing already beneath the ground. I tell you, our lives began grounded and founded. I'm glad my life is anchored in the rock of ages, and I shall not be moved. I mean, that old tree by the river of water, and its old roots will run down deep and wrap around the rock and to hold on. And when the river gets out of the banks, I tell you, the water runs by it. It can drain from the water without the water shaking it loose. Oh, yes. It's grounded. It's rooted deep in that bank. Matter of fact, the bank may wash away, but the tree won't. As some of you have been on the creek bank, and you see it when the floods come, and it washed the bank away, and there'll be a tree sitting out there 4 or 5 feet into the creek, and my friend, the roots run back into the creek bank, and the tree looks like it's sitting out there on nothing. That's because it's rooted back in the bank, up against the rock. Amen. Roots your life in Jesus. Roots your life back in the bank. Roots your life in the rock of ages. How would I thank God when the water begins to run? By the way, running water, still water is the Word. We saw that in verse 2. Running water is the Spirit of God. And we see that in verse 3. I tell you, from the running water, for that one that's planted in Jesus, the Spirit doesn't sweep us away to our death, but it feeds our roots and gives us life in Jesus. I've been planted by the rivers of water. He's a planted tree. He's rooted, he's grounded, he's planted. The storm may come, but he still stands. The blessed man has a deep, hidden life in the Word and near the water. That Holy Ghost. He's described as a planted tree. He's described then as a productive tree. The blessed man overflows. Every now and again, if you hang around a creek long enough, it's bound to get out of the banks. The blessed man overflows. He don't overflow all the time, but he overflows sometimes. Now I'm going to tell you, if you live for God, you won't be overflowing all the time. There'll be some times that are getting near dry, but every now and again, He'll let your cup overflow. Every now and again, He, friend, will give you abundance above measure. Thank God. Oh, your life can count for God. And when this blessed man overflows, others are blessed by him. His life will count for the Lord. He's a fruitful Christian. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. That means, friend, that even when he's not bringing forth fruit, he's still got
got life. He's still got leaves.
Yeah.
When you're not just a friend.
Yeah.
How you're not just a smelling.
Yeah.
How are the fruit? And you're not just enjoying.
Yeah.
Abundance is still alive.
Yeah.
And you're still surviving, thank God.
Yeah.
And whatsoever do it shall prosper.
Yeah.
I wonder your life, does it produce?
Yeah.
Does it count for something?
Yeah.
Are people near you nourished by the fruit that you're putting off?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go away from this man and be refreshed and be strengthened.
Yeah.
I want to be around where the blessed man is.
Yes, sir.
This blessed man's so blessed that you'd be blessed just to be where he is. Because he's putting off fruit that'll help you, that'll strengthen you. Amen. The man that is blessed. Blessed is the man. He's gladdened. He's guided. He's guarded. I'm finished preaching. Everybody wants to be happy. Come on with a song. I've done. Everybody wants to be happy. You know, I don't think I've ever met anybody that didn't want to be happy. I've met some folks that refused to be happy, but they wanted to be so bad they couldn't stand it. Everybody wants to be happy. Well, if everybody wants to be happy, how come everybody ain't happy then? If everybody wants to be happy and wanted to be happy and make it so, I sure have seen an awful lot of folks that sure did want to be happy that they couldn't get happy to save their lives. I mean, it's miserable. Everybody wants to be happy. It's so much a part of our natural man to desire to be happy that whenever we founded this country, they recognized God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not necessarily the attainment of it, but the pursuit of it. God has given us that. Everybody wants to be a blessed man. Many don't want to pay the price to get there. You'll not be blessed standing in the way of sinners, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, sitting in the seat of the scornful. You'll be blessed with your delight in the law of the Lord. God's Word tells you how to be blessed. The world will tell you how to go to hell. The world will tell you how to be cursed. The world will tell you how to be lost. God's Word will tell you how to be blessed. Merely wanting to be happy and wanting to be blessed will not make it so. Only those who are willing to be the kind of man described in Psalms 1 will ever know the kind of life described in Psalms 1. Everybody wants this life, but not everybody wants to be this man. I don't know about you, but I want to be that man. I want to be the man described in Psalms chapter 1. Do you really want to be blessed this morning? Do you want it bad enough to do what God says? If there's something in your life that's an impediment to your success in Christ, something in your life that's a hindrance to you really being blessed and being touched and anointed of the Lord, today would be the day to get that thing right with God and walk near to the Lord. If you need to pray, would you come? Stand to your feet. And she's going to sing this morning. If you need to pray, find your place around this morning's bench and do business with God. You could be that man. You can be blessed. God can work in your life. He can inhabit your walk. But it's up to you what you'll have. If you'll walk according to the world, if you'll walk according to the Word. So when you're ready, if you need to pray, would you come? I want to be that man. I want to be that man. Oh, yes. That's right. Some are praying, others
may need to come, would you come this morning to do business with God? Man, I want to be the one. Try to live for God. Want to be pleased with my life. This afternoon, 5:30, they'll be ringing bells. If you want to play a bell in the bell choir, come get your bell rung. 2:30 over at the nursing home. And we'll look forward to that if you want to come be with us. 6 o'clock for the worship service tonight. Wednesday night will be our last Wednesday night service of the season before the new year. So Wednesday night we're going to be looking at another question in the Bible. We're looking forward to that. Take some time, fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed this morning. I appreciate you coming.
Thanksgiving is usually when they stop, so I figured to stop this week would be our last one since I'm going to be gone the next one.
9 minutes long. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. You said you got to die out of sin.
Yes, sir.
Nobody wants to give up sin to go to heaven.
Yes, sir.
Continue living on.
Well, I know we can't do anything. One man said that nobody wants to go to heaven and nobody wants to do nothing to get there. And
we don't do anything to get there, but we do a lot of stuff in
life. Yeah. You can't buy it. I don't know how you ask it. You said John John Ruler asked you wrong.
That's right.
What can I do? You can't do nothing, but you can't follow me if you want to.
Can't do nothing to get there, but you can do something on your way.
What? It ain't funny. They didn't even care. About my shoes. They got on too fast.
Hey, brother, you want to be laced all the way to the top?
I figured what you want, man. He's paying me no pay attention. All that
stuff. I pay $40, which is high for me. I don't pay that much for shoes. I ain't bought a pair of boots in a while.
Man, got to have
splurge on it.